Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. This is Topically Yours, and I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler. And you know, I've talked to a lot of jazz artists, Miles Davis, Wynton Marsalis, Alan Toussaint, George Benson, Gloria Lynn, Roberta Flack, and it goes on and on with Carla Cook and Al Jarreau, and even Rachel Farrar, and so many others. And anyway, it's always a pleasure to talk to a newer, younger artist who's on the jazz scene and who's making their own music. And today I'm going to talk to a young jazz vocalist who is making a name for herself, Sarah Elizabeth Charles. Sarah has shared the stage and studied with the likes of Jerry Allen, Jimmy Owens, Junior Mance, and Cecil Bridgewater, to name a few. She's a band leader of her own group, the Sarah Charles Quartet, and she has a CD currently out entitled Red, and I just played Red, the title, for you. She's from Springfield, Massachusetts, and she attended and graduated with a BFA from the New School for Jazz and Contemporary Music, as well as earned a BA from Eugene Lang College. A composer, Sarah E. Charles has performed at the Apollo Theater, the Blue Note, the Iridium, Small Jazz Club, the Zinc Bar, etc. And she's performed at the International Bern Jazz Festival in Switzerland and at the Kennedy Center. And Sarah will be performing at Jazz at Lincoln Center, Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola on July 22nd. And I believe she's going to be doing two sets, one at 7:30 and one at 9:30 p.m. Well, if I tell you everything, I won't have to talk to Sarah, and she's here. So let's welcome Sarah E. Charles to the show. We were having a little difficulty calling in, but she made it. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks so much for having me, Deirdre.
Well, I understand you began your musical odyssey at 6 or 7 years old. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, I started studying at the community music school in Springfield when I was 6 years old, and I began with classical piano lessons, and then went on to join the children's choir. And while I was doing that, I was also singing in the church choir, the local church choir, in Springfield at a church called Our Lady of Hope. Those were kind of my musical beginnings. And then shortly thereafter, when I was about 8 years old, I did my first solo performance at the same church for my godmother's wedding. So that's kind of how everything got started.
And what drew you to jazz? There's so many genres of music. What was it about jazz?
Well, honestly, growing up, I hadn't been exposed to jazz as a child. We were listening to other music that was great music, a lot of Stevie Wonder, a lot of Michael Jackson, a lot of just good stuff that was on the radio, things my parents basically liked. But none of my family has had a jazz background prior to my taking an interest in it. So when I was about 11, at the same school, the community music school in Springfield, had a really great vocal instructor who exposed me to jazz music. She was a local jazz artist. Her name is Montenia Scheider. And they had a scholarship ensemble run by Detroit bassist Vishnu Wood. And I had learned a few tunes. I think it was They Can't Take That Away From Me and Don't Get Around Much Anymore were the two standards that I knew. And she said, you know, why don't you go upstairs and sit in with the band and sing these tunes? And I was like, okay, you know, I'll do that. And so I went up there, and I thought it was a little strange because the director of the school was there while I was sitting in. And then afterward, they told me that was my audition and that I got into the ensemble.
Well, I guess they did that to keep you from being frightened or something, which was unusual indeed.
Yeah, I mean, I think so because, you know, I was young. I was 11, and I didn't really, you know, at that time, I didn't have a sense at all of, you know, what direction I wanted to go in. I knew that I loved to sing and I loved to perform, but in terms of getting into a specific genre, I hadn't really settled on anything, and I think that she saw, you know, the interest that I had taken in learning these two tunes and probably like 2 months time span, basically, and how passionate I was about it, you know, at such a young age. And I think she kind of drew me in that direction or pointed me in that direction. And I'm definitely indebted to her forever for that because it was a good fit for me.
Well, do you think that some people are born to sing jazz? Because I've talked to people that tell me that when they first got into a record company, for example, they wanted them to sing jazz, but they just couldn't. That they were better as a romantic singer, and that's where they found their niche.
Oh, I see. And when you say romantic, what do you specifically mean? Like more in the pop genre?
Chances are, like, that person was Johnny Mathis that told me that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
They started him off as a jazz singer, but he couldn't do it.
I mean, I think what's interesting and what draws me to the genre so much, and probably you can probably hear it from the track that you just played as well, is that within jazz and within the space of jazz singing and figuring out kind of what your sound is as a vocalist or an instrumentalist within the genre is that it can be so vast. It's improvisational music, and improvisation is very different to each individual. So I think that was perhaps what drew me and what still continues to keep me drawn to the genre itself, the fact that you can really just be yourself and have a conversation with the musicians that are on stage with you and make your own sound. So, you know, I think that it depends on what your view of jazz vocals is. Which, of course, is, or what jazz is in the first place, which, of course, is a very widely debated topic in and of itself. But, you know, I think of it as improvisational music, and I enjoy making it, for sure.
No, I think that was Johnny, what Johnny mentioned, that he wasn't good at improvisational singing.
Ah, okay. I see. I
look at jazz as an intellectual music, and they always try to say it's classical music, that's the intellectual music, but jazz, I think, is the same, because it's not really structured, or it can be, and you could start it off one way and end it another, as you say, lots of improvisation, and maybe we've covered that, but what are your thoughts of it as being really like a classical music, an intellectual music?
I think it's really important that we discuss jazz in those terms, because I think for so many years, classical music was, for instance, in academia and taken much more seriously than jazz music was when it first started to be played. And gradually, people began to realize something that the musicians that were playing the music and creating the music already knew, that there was a richness and an intellect to what these people were creating, what these musicians who created this genre were doing, and that there was a whole field of study and a vocabulary, just like there is in classical music, that musicians had to learn and to nurture and to experience and to live in order to push the genre forward and to continue the traditions as well. So I definitely think that it's an intellectual music. I think the difficulty in that sometimes in people realizing that comes with the fact that it is improvisational music, and some people don't necessarily aren't able to understand it all the time or aren't able to pinpoint it, which is unfortunately part of the reason why it's not as popular as it used to be. When jazz was dance music, it was in a very different space. And it still is dance music to a certain extent, but there are all of these other subgenres that are coming up, and people are approaching it and expanding it in a way that I think no one could have ever imagined. So I think it's very important to hold fast to the fact, though, that it is intellectual music, and to continue that tradition and to continue challenging ourselves within that tradition.
And also, as you just touched on, that out of it are birthed other types of jazz. Like some people just see it as a certain thing and only that, and don't know that there's also swing and bop and smooth jazz, and I guess you could say New Orleans-style jazz and funk and cool jazz and Latin jazz and on and on.
Hmm.
What is your style, or are you eclectic in your taste?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think it's hard to, that's the question that a lot of musicians have a lot of trouble answering, I think, because especially nowadays, and my generation of musicians have been affected so much by so many different styles of music. So I think my music is a very eclectic mix of my experiences. So jazz is definitely the engine, that's what's keeping everything running. But there's also R&B, there's also soul, there's also Haitian folkloric music that is a more recent addition in the past 3 years or so into my performance repertoire. So there are so many different things, and then things that I hear on a regular basis when I go out and check out new music around the city, or when I'm not in the city and I hear things. And so I'm just trying to always keep my ears open, but it's very difficult, I think, to pinpoint exactly what box, I guess, you would put my style in.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe you don't want to be in a box. I think that oftentimes musicians tell me they find themselves pushed into a box, and they would like to be free to express different types of music rather than the kind they just made famous.
Absolutely.
Now, you had a music major and also a psychology major. Well, I guess music would be, it's reflective of society. Are those the kinds of songs you compose, sort of a mirror of society?
What's interesting is I did sociology and urban studies as my second degree. And when I was, you know, when I was applying to schools, I definitely thought about whether I wanted to just do a fine arts degree or have some sort of liberal arts concentration that also complemented the music that I was writing and performing. I fell in love with sociology my junior year of high school and decided that I needed to find a strong liberal arts and sociology program wherever I went to school so that I could get that other degree or a minor in that. And when I found the new school, the thing that I think was really important for me was to be able to be a socially aware and socially informed musician. For so long, especially within the jazz tradition, but in a lot of other genres too, the music was really being fueled and pushed along by society at large and by the difficulties and the struggles and the activism and all of the things that were taking place within society, within politics, within the United States and all over the world. And so for me, it's very important. It was very important while I was studying, and it's still very important to remain aware of that and also to remain aware of the unique platform that us as musicians have. We have a stage and we have a microphone at every performance, no matter where it is. And when I say a microphone, I'm not only referring to vocalists. Any band leader or any musician who's playing has that platform. And I think it's really important for musicians of my generation to remember that social responsibility. So it's a less literal translation into saying that my sociological background directly affects all the music that I write. It definitely affects some of it, and it definitely is geared, some of the music I write is geared toward that and making comments about that. But it's more than that. It's more of a philosophy that I like to live by as an artist.
Well, sometimes, and maybe it's just me, but I think it is more than me, that when you listen to jazz, the instruments themselves seem to have a voice, almost like they're talking to each other. And that, to me, is what fills the room with emotion and even conversation. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the jazz tradition is so much embedded in the tradition of improvisation in and of itself is embedded within conversation. If you're not really talking to the people that are on the bandstand with you and communicating with them and having a conversation, then it's hard to call that jazz in that case, because to me, I think that's the biggest part. Is the conversational element to the improvisation or within the improvisation.
That the instruments themselves are putting out or saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Instruments
the
themselves almost have a voice.
Yeah, yes.
Well, I suppose different musical institutes bring their own form of teaching. What did you learn, or what was your exposure to music from the New School of Jazz and Contemporary Music? What did it offer you?
Oh, it offered me a whole lot. I think the most interesting thing about my studies at the New School were was the fact that you could go and really decide. I had a few people in mind before I got there, for instance, who I wanted to study with and who I wanted to really kind of zero in on and kind of be a sponge to the knowledge of, basically. So when I first got there, there were certain people that were already on my radar, some of whom you mentioned, Cecil Bridgewater, Reggie Workman, Junior Mance, Richard Harper, Janet Lawson, Amy London. I really just wanted to go there and really just absorb all the knowledge that these people had as artists, as businessmen and women, as composers, and just as human beings. And I think what was the best part was, as a vocalist at the New School, you can really get as much out of it as you need and want to. So there are no limitations. The vocalists are very much integrated into the entire student body. And what I mean by that is the instrumentalists and the vocalists and their interaction, is very, and it happens all the time. They're taking classes together. They're in ensembles together. The vocalists are able to audition for any and every ensemble, you know, and it's not, there isn't a divide between the two, and nor should there be, because the vocalists are musicians as well, and so there should, you know, I'm a firm believer in that lack of divide and trying to kind of break that down. So I think that that was perhaps the best part of my experience, was the lack of limitations that were offered, and therefore I was able to study with whoever I wanted and really get as much out of it as possible. And I don't think that I could say honestly about musical that I have anything that I wish I could have done. I think that I definitely got as much out of it as I possibly could have. So it was a really great experience for me.
Well, I also want to recognize the station. It's the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. I'm Deirdre Schuler, and we are talking to Sarah Elizabeth Charles. And, well, I should mention, like I did at the top of the show, that she's going to be performing at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Club, Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola. And that's located at 60th Street and Broadway. And she's going to be performing on Monday, July 22nd. And if you want tickets, you might as well call 212-258-9595 or 9795. And if you're coming in as a group, call 212-258-9580. And I'll mention that one more time before we go. So how would you describe the type of jazz you play? I mean, some people play swing and bop and blah, blah, blah. But what do you play? Or, as you say, you're eclectic. But when you play jazz, do you consider that you swing or you do hard bop? Or what would you say?
Well, the majority of the time nowadays, I'm actually playing my original music and my arrangements of standards. And when I say standards, that's kind of a broader term than to just, it's not necessarily only confined to jazz music. But for instance, on Red, on the record that you were playing earlier, I released a cover of Antonio Carlos Jobim's song, How Insensitive.
I love
and
it.
I kind of flipped that all around. It's a very, originally a very mellow, beautiful bossa nova song, and I kind of flipped it around and put some odd meters in there, and my interpretation of it was a little bit more aggressive than I think Jobim's ever would have been. But, you know, I think I was kind of taking the story and the lyric and interpreting it for myself. Basically, it's about, you know, it's about a person who's with someone who's in love with them and who they just don't really love the same way, and therefore they have to let them go. And I think that we can all relate to being on either side of that situation at different points in our lives. And I think that for some reason, when I was interpreting that for myself and deciding how I wanted to do it, some aggression came out. And I, you know, that was just my interpretation.
That's not unusual.
It's very loose, G minor-y vamp in 7 and 9, and then it settles into a groove in 4, and then goes into the changes for the second time through the head, and it's kind of like, it's very different. But again, I think that the best way to describe it is just, when I take tunes and I perform standards, I really just try to make it the genre of me, the genre of Sarah, and figure out how am I going to speak within this piece, within this tune, within these lyrics, within these chord changes, within this melody. So that's I guess the best way to answer that question, I think.
Well, I played Red, and that's the name of your CD. So tell me about your CD. Red.
How many
songs
Red.
Do you have on there?
We have 7 on the EP. It's an extended play, and it's basically the quartet's been together for about 3 years now, and it's the repertoire. It's kind of our original repertoire, so we've been playing that all that music a lot. And the record has a very live feel and a live vibe. We recorded it, oh goodness, in the fall of 2011 and then released it in September of 2012. Actually, the release show was at Dizzy on September 4th of last year. So that was an amazing experience, and it had three original pieces, and then two Haitian folkloric songs that I've arranged, and then one of the pieces has an extended intro, which is what makes it seven tracks.
A lot of jazz is infused with African beats, and the song that you composed, I assume you composed it, is it Wangolo Wale too?
Wangolo Wale, that's actually a Haitian folkloric song. It's very, very, you can't even find a composer. If anybody knows of a composer, reach out to me, because I have not been able to find anyone, but it's a very old Haitian folk song that I arranged for the record.
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you there, Deidre?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to play your song.
Oh, great. Yeah, I would love for you to play that.
All right, because I know that a lot of people enjoy the traditional sounds. And mm-hmm. as you say, this is a sound of Haiti?
Yes.
So here we go. Please pronounce that name again, because obviously I messed it up.
No worries. This song is called Wangolo Wale.
And here we go. Wow, I like that.
Thank you so much.
And that is you singing, right? You sound so different.
Yes, yeah, it is me singing.
Well, why don't you tell me about your band members and their names and what instruments they play?
Oh, absolutely. On this record, we have Jesse Elder on piano and Rhodes, Bernice Earl Travis II on electric and upright bass, and John Davis on the drums. Jesse is originally from Michigan. Bernice is originally from Houston, Texas, and John Davis is originally from Florida, from Jacksonville, Florida. And we've all been together for those 3 years. So it's the original band on this record, and it will be the original band as well on the CD that we're planning on recording at the end of this year. So these are just three individuals that I really, really enjoy creating music with. Each one of us also has very unique friendship as well. So they're definitely three human beings that I'm very lucky to have in my life and to be able to create music with.
Do you yourself, I know your voice is an instrument, but do you play a musical instrument?
I compose at the piano, but I always tell people, you know, and I play a bit, I teach as well. So in lessons, for instance, I'll accompany my students, but I do not say that I'm a piano player. Jesse, what you're hearing Jesse do, that's playing the piano. That's playing the Rhodes. But, yeah, I do compose at the piano, though, because of my background, for sure.
Well, now you went to Switzerland and was at the Jazz Festival and the Bern Jazz Festival. What is it like for you to play outside the United States?
It was really phenomenal. It was actually, that was about 3 or 4 years ago now, and that was my first time playing internationally. And it was myself and Mike Rude, who were the band leaders of the group that we brought out there, the sextet that we had out there. And at the time, we were playing as a part of the Bern Jazz Festival opposite Jack DeJohnette and his group. So it was a really, really amazing experience. It was Jack and, I'm sorry, he also had Rudresh Mahatsapa on that gig. He had David Fusinski. And who am I missing? Who am I missing? I'm missing someone. But that band and the way that they really just kind of really mentored us at the time, you know, we were still all college students, and we hung out and we were listening to each other, and the set breaks were kind of timed so that and staggered so they could come and check out us out at the tent for a little while, and we could go and check them out in the venue inside. George Colligan was really, he was on piano, and he was really amazing and supportive and came out to check us out almost every night while we were there. So it was perhaps, I think, the best first international experience that I could have asked for. I was there for a week, and we were playing three sets a night, and the music just got better and better and grew and grew. And so, yeah, it's a really great festival in a beautiful city. We had a blast.
Are you hoping to go outside of the States again soon? Or I know New York has a lot of jazz clubs. It's really the Mecca, but would you say New Orleans is also, well, everybody mentions New Orleans as the birthplace of jazz, but what's your opinion about that?
I definitely see the influence that New Orleans has had on this music, and I don't think that any place in the universe can rival the influence that New Orleans had and the hand that they had in creating this music. So, you know, I have yet to play in New Orleans, but I really can't wait to get this band down there because I'm very curious about how New Orleans receives my music. I think it's an amazing city. It's definitely somewhere that I would actually like to live at some point in my life for a little while.
Funny
that you mentioned it. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. I adore it.
I think you would meet a lot of people down there that could teach you a lot, expose you to a lot, because that is someplace to go for musically. Not that New York isn't, because certainly we have many clubs, but I don't know. I think New Orleans is more raw. New York's a little sophisticated.
No, I see. I definitely see what you mean by that. Sure.
Well, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to mention?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I guess just for people to please, again, come out on July 22nd. It's going to be a blast. As I mentioned before, we're going to be recording another CD at the end of this year. And so I'm composing for that right now. And the last time we were at Disney's, it was for the release show. So all of the repertoire was off-red. And this time around, this go around, we're going to be performing compositions off-red, as well as numerous new compositions that we have to share. And I think this will be one of the first times, actually, that if not the first time, that we'll be playing this these new compositions in New York City. So I'm very excited to share that with my New York audience and with my friends and family who are here, and people I don't know too. So I guess that's really the only
your
thing
future
that
fans.
I would say. Yes, future fans, future friends too, for sure. Yeah. And I want to say too, Deirdre, it's such an honor for me to be on your show. I just wanted to put that out there as well. It's really an honor. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, no problem. And we're going to hawk your show again and say that it's going to be at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Club Coca-Cola on July 22nd. And that's a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be two sets, 7:30 and 9:30 p.m. We got to give them a chance to eat, folks. So, you know, 7:30 and 9:30 p.m. And you can call for reservations at 212-258-9595 or 9795. And, hey, go out there and bring your whole church group.
Yes.
We get a discounted rate, and that's 212-258-9580. And as I said, I've been talking to Sarah Elizabeth Charles, and this is probably not the first or last time you're going to be hearing her name or her music. And where can they get your CD, by the way?
The CD is available on all of the Internet outlets, as well as via my website. So iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, you can get it online there. You can also get it via my website. You can get physical copies or a digital download, and on truthrevolutionrecords.com. So it's available through all of those outlets.
Oh, and I also want to say, if you haven't been to Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola, it's quite romantic, and it has a wonderful view. Food is great. So check it out. And this is the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. I'm Deirdre Shuler, your host. And I want to thank my listeners for making my topic topically yours. And thank you again, Elizabeth, for bringing your compositions and your CD read.
Thank you, Deirdre, for having me. Thank you so much.
Now I'm going to ask you one more time. I'm going to play another song. And is it Merci Bon Dieu?
Oh, merci bon Dieu. It's actually just like if you think of it in French, merci bon Dieu, but in Creole it's merci bon Dieu.
And what does that mean?
Thank you, my God.
Really? Thank you, my God?
Yes.
Oh, is that lovely?
Thank you, God. Yes.
Thank you, God. Well, hold on, folks, and I'm going to play it in 1 second. Now we can dance, Pietro. Now
You've been listening to the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.